Let us pray. O God of love, help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our relationships matter to God. In my remarks at the annual meeting, I emphasize that the blessings we experience here at First Lutheran as a congregation flow from our unity as the body of Christ. Because we pull together, sharing our joys and sharing our sorrows, sharing the burdens that we carry and our blessings, each doing our part, we have felt God's peace here and God's presence in our lives together and had energy for addressing the needs of others. When there have been a few ripples on the waters of our life together, wise leaders have addressed the ripples before they have become destructive riptides. We occasionally have a ripple around here, but usually we get through it. There are really three key messages that emerge from our readings this morning. The first is choose life. That's from the Hebrew Scriptures, Deuteronomy 30:19. The second message, put aside jealousy and quarreling, from 1 Corinthians. Paul was talking to a very real human situation in churches that he started and moved on from as he continued to start new churches. And the third, be reconciled to your brother or sister, from our very difficult gospel lesson from today. God sets before God's people a clear choice in our first lesson this morning. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. And in our second lesson from St. Paul's letter to the people at Corinth, for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? And again, in our gospel lesson, according to Matthew 5, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tries to help his followers to embrace the spirit of the law, which is love, rather than the letter of the law, which does not lead to a life that is at peace with others and self necessarily, even if human justice has been served. Our relationships matter to God. Look at the condition of our world today. Most of the major conflicts are about estranged relationships. One ethnic group unable to abide the other. We've got that going on everywhere, even here. One religious group unable to live alongside another. Boy, I think about the Middle East, that comes to mind. It's been going on and on and on since Jesus' time, before that. One political party unable to listen to the other. We're getting a big dose of that here lately, but not just here. Germany doesn't have any kind of clear leadership direction for the future. There's stuff going on in France, right, Aude, politically. It's everywhere. One neighborhood gang intent on destroying a rival neighborhood gang. We've got that going on right here. One jealous, enraged person taking revenge on another person, maybe a spouse or a partner, but sometimes it's the innocent. As shooters in schools take out everybody, or disgruntled workers take out all their fellow employees. In the words of the psalmist for today, oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes. Look at the condition of our lives today. Isn't it true that at the root of our uneasiness and lack of inner peace often, it's about a problem or many problems with relationships? We can live through unemployment challenges, though it's hard. I know that. We can accept high health crises, and we can make the most of things. We can spread out smaller installment payments on our overdue bills until we get them paid. We can fix whatever is broken in our homes and our cars most of the time. But where we can't seem to get unstuck is from the pain of our broken relationships. Our lectionary texts today are all focused on this reality. God is trying to get our attention this morning, saying to us, our relationships matter to God. How many of you have seen the movie on Netflix, The Two Popes? Yeah. If you haven't, it's worth watching. Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. They are like here and here in their whole orientation to how to live out their faith and how to be popes. What ought to come first? Their entire makeup is so contrary to each other's that it's difficult to understand how they could ever come into relationship with each other. And yet they do. And that movie, I think, really helps us to understand what you need to do in order to work through our differences and come to not commonality, but mutual respect. And to give in to the notion that I'm right and you're wrong, but rather, that's interesting. I'd never thought of it that way. Let me think about that some more. And vice versa. Our relationships matter to God. Where there's pain and trouble and estrangement and a sense of betrayal, God can do something about that. We're not alone. The suffering does not have to go on and on and on. Choose life, God says, so that you may live. I don't think he means, you know, like breathe and live. I think he means that you can grasp life in all its fullness and live in harmony with yourself and with others. But in reality, Deuteronomy does not so much offer us a choice as to really require God's people to make a particular choice. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, then you shall live. But if your heart turns away, you shall perish. Choose covenant. What's covenant? It's right relationships with God and with each other. Receive life. If you choose the right relationships, you're going to receive life. Life's going to be wonderful. Reject covenant? Right relationship with God and one another, you're choosing death. It's a kind of death. Choose covenant, right relationship with God, you're going to receive blessings. Reject covenant, your life's going to feel kind of cursed. There's a biblical commentator, Andrew Foster Connors, who put it this way. The truth, according to Deuteronomy, is that there will be hell to pay for the choices we make when those choices run counter to God's covenantal obligations. Promises are violated in marriages. Destructive secrets erupt from the places where families hide them. Irresponsible financial decisions run their ultimate course. The predictable destruction that lies in the wake confirms that there are severe consequences for violating covenantal norm. There will be hell to pay for the choices that we make. That's what this commentator says. Now, I don't mean, and I don't think he means, that hell is a place. And that's where we're going to end up if we do all these things wrong. I don't think really that's the point. I think really that what we're talking about when we mention hell in this context is what we make of our lives right here, right now. We make of our lives a living hell when we get it wrong, according to what God teaches us about how we live in right relationship with God and with each other. Now, the flip side of all of these ominous warnings is that God desires for the community and for each of us to be blessed. God desires for us to live life, Chaim, you know, not death. The right choice means we have peace and joy in our lives, with our families, with our co-workers, in the community in which we worship. The right choice means economic policies that leave enough for everyone. The right choice means an equitable distribution of the world's resources. The right choice means life. And that's what God wants for us, God's beloved children, you and me. On my bulletin board in the office, and I think a few years ago I even printed it up and stuck it in the bulletin once, there's this picture that someone sent me during the worst of times of this little girl who's about 7 years old. And she's pushing as hard as she can to hold up this massive boulder in front of her. And looming behind that boulder is yet another boulder that's even bigger. And it all looks like it's going to fall down on top of this little girl who's trying to hold it like this. Take a few minutes. Think about your lives, about your relationships. And thank God for those relationships that are life-giving and healthy. And then putting yourself in the place of that little girl in my picture, who feels like the whole weight of the world is leaning against her. Think of the relationships in your life that are estranged or just really painful. Name them before God and ask for God's help, that together you and God are able to choose life rather than death, blessings rather than curses. Today, are you willing to choose between staying in a marriage or a job that's not about life but about death? Are you needing to dig deep to find the courage to speak the truth, even knowing the consequences for you might be less than desirable? Are you about to sit at the bedside of a loved one knowing that you will soon need to decide whether or not you trust God's promise of eternal life? Are you stuck in depression because you regret missed opportunities and wrong choices and you fear that the time is running out to do anything about it? Ultimately, I think the question is, will I love God or not? Will my choices and how I live reflect that love or not? Will I choose life, embracing the future with hope and trusting in God's promises to forgive unfortunate choices from the past and offer instead the freedom to choose new life for the future, the gift that God gives us? Ultimately, we know that as people of God who believe in the resurrected Christ, that we are those who are called to choose life. Sometimes we get it right. Often we won't. Either way, every day, the gift and the privilege, and yes, the challenge, is to sort out what life looks like and to try to choose it. Choose life. and then to entrust it all back to God, who reminds us that God chose to love us first and last. Our relationships do matter to God. Amen.